Congratulations, Mike. You did your best work tonight. And congratulations, Maurice. You finally did work. I know this is talking smack and she's being polite, but I may hit you in the nose with it. You got one more week. One more week to make fun of me for how I look, how I live, and who I am. Congratulations. That's something that every single WWE superstar does, and I'm used to it. You gave me a nice laugh tonight. Thing is, after the week's over, then you go back to being Mike. So tell all your jokes, please, because they were entertaining. I laughed with everybody. But we all know that Mike is softer than a shoe full of baby crap. Oh. Mike couldn't crush a grape in a fruit fight. And Sunday, you'll have nowhere to run and no jokes to tell. Nowhere to run to, baby. Nowhere to hide. Got nowhere to run to, baby. Nowhere to hide.
The WWPN 1 year anniversary is coming up June 23rd. June 23rd is our 1 year anniversary. It's on a Friday. We have to do something for it. It's actually in between pay-per-views, which is perfect. So it's not going to be a busy weekend for us as far as our recording schedule. What I'm asking each and every, you know what? We can't release the plans because this is pre-show. We don't want to release the plans yet. We don't want the people to know what's going to happen. But that 1 year anniversary is coming up, and that show, I got something spectacular planned for this 1 year show. Similar to the explosion that happened on Paige's face. But.
Oh, yeah, shit. Oh, it's up again.
Oh man, JB, you can't help yourself, can you? You cannot help
yourself. It's like a new toy, bro.
Oh man, a 30-year-old man with new toys.
34 in a week.
You're 34 in a week. Old bastard.
I mean, no, next week. Next week Tuesday.
Are you guys ready to talk smack? Can we talk some SmackDown?
We're gonna have to sing you happy birthday next week.
Absolutely.
Are you going to be here next week? Aren't you supposed to be in Jamaica?
I'll be back on Monday. I'm like Monday evening. So I'll be here on Tuesday. Can't get rid of me that easy.
Now that's commitment. The man's coming back from a trip to Jamaica to make sure he makes his podcast.
I may not have any idea what's going on SmackDown, though, because I'm sure me and my wife are probably going to go out to dinner, but I'll be here for the show.
Look, you're spending the whole weekend in Jamaica. You don't have to go out to dinner with you. Like, who does that? So you're going to be in Jamaica, you come back, and then you go out to dinner.
Maybe I just go to McDonald's. Maybe
you want to be back to American food, yeah.
And then next week is WrestleMania, of course.
Of course. So we know you're going to be gone all week, which...
Hey, by the way, not to get off topic, but did you guys hear about Vince McMahon getting into a car accident?
Yeah, earlier today.
Yeah, with his Bentley with the spoiler.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That dude's getting old. I saw a picture of him walking away from it.
He's getting old. He's been old for the last 20 years. What do you mean he's getting old?
He's got to be close to 80 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was moving around. He could still whip an ass. Right now, he just can't even drive right.
Yeah, but I mean, shit. If I was that rich, I would have a driver. What the hell?
You're a McMahon, damn it. He doesn't need a driver. I don't think he
drove around like a regular person.
Have Tyler Breeze drive you. I mean, he's doing everything else. Why not drive Vince McMahon?
Why not have some pants on and wear like a male shirt? But we'll talk about that later.
All right, let's get into SmackDown.
Zone. Black and blue, I crawl along the wreckage of what now is gone. Red alert,
ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pedophiles of all ages, Paige fans, welcome to this Paige Tackler version of the Blue
Zone.
Can
I just say, if
no, you cannot.
Any pedophiles listening, don't. I don't want any pedophiles. Like
any pedophiles at any time, feel welcome to slide right into Misery Williams' DMs.
Misery Williams' DMs are open.
My shit is closed off. Shit, I'm changing my Twitter.
Literally?
I may have to now.
What a start. Right. We're off to this week.
This is the Blue Zone, people, if you can't tell, because this goddamn podcast is off the rails before we even get a chance to get started. All thanks to JB and the new toy that he found that he just keeps deciding to torment us with. So if we happen to break out into random laughter throughout this podcast, just know, you know what? I'm going to record this so I can put it up on the YouTube channel if he does decide to troll us any. So you are being recorded, young man. Big Brother is now watching you, because I'm gonna expose you. This is gonna have to be put up on social media, because you are such a dick.
CEO, hey, you know me too well, man. You know me too well, CEO.
I do. D Will, what were you getting ready to say?
So I was saying, it depends on the picture he puts up whether he can put it on social media or not.
yeah. I guess you. Well, anything could be posted to Twitter. We may not put it on the YouTube channel, but I can expose you one way or another, my friend. But we open up SmackDown today with Paige coming out to announce. No, Paige. We get SmackDown opening up with AJ Styles. Guys, first of all, let's start off by this. And we're going to talk about the whole happenings between AJ and Shane throughout the show. It also leaked into the main event. But what I want to start this off by asking you guys is, between last week and this week, have they completely rectified that whole build with this match? And also, it's been months. It's been over a year since Shane McMahon started having that feud with The Undertaker before last year's WrestleMania. Why has this man still not learned how to throw a goddamn punch?
I know, I was watching that, and I'm like, what am I, like, and the whole time, all I could think about, before we got those spots outside, because obviously, you know, I'm big on spot, you know, big spots and bumps like that, but everything before that, all I could think was, man, I feel so bad for AJ Styles, like, he has to deal with this at WrestleMania, especially after losing last year against Jericho. And I'm like, damn. But then after I saw the spots, then I remembered what this match is going to be all about. It's going to be a match with shit ton of spots, a shit ton of bumps, because that's just all Shane really knows. So I'm hyped for this match, actually, to be quite honest.
D-Will?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the match, too. They did a lot this SmackDown to make me more interested than I was previously. I still wish that Shane wasn't wrestling, and I still wish that AJ Styles had something better to do. But if they absolutely had to, which it kind of looks like they really did actually absolutely have to, because I can't see anybody else AJ Styles going up against. And this is a good match that I'm looking forward to. So, yeah, I'm hoping Shane McMahon jumps off the roof or something through, like, a car and just, like, die.
Yeah, I mean, we're bound to see that. Like I said last week, like, I can't imagine, like, AJ doing a Styles Clash off a freaking roller coaster, but it's gonna be interesting to see exactly what happens. But what do you think? What, obviously, next week is the go home show. Do you think it's gonna be even more intensified and they're gonna get even more violent next week, or do you think it'll be a thing where they just have no violence and they just kind of stay away from each other? What do you think will happen on that, D Will?
I think they're gonna have a pull away brawl. I think they're gonna have Eve falling in the ring, and then all the superstars on the roster are gonna have to try to pull apart. That's probably how SmackDown's gonna end. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, that may be how SmackDown is going to end, but and correct me if I'm wrong, did Shane McMahon actually land that elbow? Because I don't think he did. And for that, Shane McMahon, we're going to start this off early, is my
jabber of the week.
Because he did not land that. This is the second time he's done some shit like this. He did it at last year's WrestleMania where he couldn't land the damn move. Don't go for it if you don't have the athleticism to do it anymore, young man. But how do you guys, what do you guys think he landed? From everything, the angles that I saw, it didn't look like he actually did it.
He never makes it from anywhere that he's ever trying to do it. This tonight, last year against Undertaker at SummerSlam when he was going against Big Show, or I think when he had that match with Kane, Vince, Undertaker the other time, he's never hit that spot. I think it's to protect the other opponent, because if he does actually hit it, that person's ribcage is fucked.
Personally, with me, I'm the same way, and I think actually AJ Styles even knew or had an inkling that Shane was going to make it, because when they showed the replay, you could see AJ looking like, bro, are you really going to make this? Like, I don't think you're going to make this. But it's, again, it's freaking Shane McMahon. We know we're not getting, like, freaking, you know, Nakamura or some shit in the ring. It's freaking Shane McMahon, you know. You take it as you get it.
Yeah, I mean, all that to the side, I am looking forward to this match, because it's going to be one of those matches that, while it's not going to be technical or you're going to walk away from it thinking, hey, that was just one of the best all time, you are going to see some just gory spots in this match, and it's going to be one of those things you walk away from like, those two bastards deserve a shot or whatever else. I hope they just have just copious amounts of painkillers and alcohol waiting backstage for them after this match, because it's going to be a barn burner in that sense. Spot fest is what some people call it.
If there's any match that's allowed to have blood, it should be this one.
Exactly. It's going to be the match of the night that Cornette's going to pull out his damn hair at, because they're exposing the damn business. That's what's going to happen.
I love Cornette. I'm so happy Jim Cornette, whatever you want to call him, is going to be at WrestleMania weekend. You know, he's inducting the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah, I know. And you know, I mean, we talked about that a little bit last night in the Red Zone, him making his return to WWE, and also some of his thoughts on the wrestling business. And, you know, it just comes, you hear a lot of people who hate Cornette. I don't hate him at all, because, I mean, you have that in every sport and every medium, where you have just that old guy who wants stuff to stay the way it's always been, who doesn't like that things have changed. And Cornette's that guy, and that's fine that he's like that. I don't like the fact that he goes out and attacks some wrestlers, but overall, his opinion is his opinion. I mean, he's done enough in this wrestling business where he's earned the right to have that opinion.
But my God, let this be a note and a message to everybody who's ever done wrong by WWE. If Jim Cornette can come back with the amount of shit this guy has talked about WWE throughout shoot videos and podcasts, and I don't know anyone that's ran down the company more than him, and they're willing to bring him, not only bring him back, but have him live on open mic at the Hall of Fame, anyone has a shot. So and we could see anybody at any time come back, and that includes CM Punk.
Absolutely. D. Will, anything on Cornette before we move forward?
He is well before my time. I just hear stories about him acting like the biggest fool in the world. So I really have no opinion on Cornette.
Fair enough. So the actual first match of SmackDown tonight was an absolutely fabulous match. The match between the Usos and American Alpha for the tag team titles. We have new tag team champions, people. The Usos did it. The way that this match was booked, American Alpha looked good here. They really didn't lose much in losing the titles, but the Usos, and considering how their characters have changed, they heated them up for a while, they came off TV for a while, they came back, I think they deserve this tag team title run. I hope that they don't lose it at WrestleMania. I hope they didn't do all this just so they can put the faces over at WrestleMania, because I didn't think they needed to lose the titles to do that. But D1, I'm going to come to you first on that one. What do you feel about the Usos winning these tag team titles tonight? And then also, do they get to retain it throughout past WrestleMania?
It was a surprise that we even got a tag team title match tonight. I wasn't expecting that. My biggest takeaway out of this match is that we're not going to see them at WrestleMania unless they're in the Battle Royal. I don't think they're going to have another tag team match at WrestleMania. That being said, I like the title switch. American Alpha, I mean, just I've seen little stuff of them in NXT, and they were just over like Rover. Ever since they came to the main roster, they've just been... So it was time for something fresh, something new. A tag team that we actually see every week, because we haven't been seeing American Alpha that often. And the charisma, they're not very charismatic. At least, I don't know whose fault that is, them or the writing team. What about you, JV? What you think?
Yeah, well, off rip, this match was really, really good. It didn't start off that exciting, but through the middle and towards the end, the match was really good. I enjoyed it. Great way to open up SmackDown as far as in the ring goes. It got me thinking, really, because so close to WrestleMania, I can't believe they took the titles off of American Alpha. The only thing that I can think of is that American Alpha wins it back at WrestleMania, so that it has that big face pop. The thing is, though, if that happens, that's stupid as hell, because that just, if that's the route they wanted to go, they should have made Usos win the titles weeks ago and had American Alpha over the last couple weeks, as far as their struggle and their, you know, them trying to chase and then the payoff at WrestleMania. So I really don't know where they're going with this, unless we see a new tag team emerge. I have no idea where they could possibly go with that. It's kind of odd to have a title change so quick, so close to WrestleMania.
Yeah, true.
How many confirmed matches are there on the WrestleMania card? Because I really don't think they're going to have a match at WrestleMania unless they're in the Battle Royal.
That's a good question.
We still got the pre-show to fill out. I mean, don't forget that. WrestleMania last year, there was a rumor going around. I don't think it's confirmed yet that there's going to be about 14 matches on this WrestleMania card. So if that's true, they got room to fit whoever. But I'm gonna go ahead and look up so far the confirmed matches for WrestleMania 33.
I mean, they've released.
Has there been a talk of a ladder match? Are we not going to get a ladder match this year? What's happening?
Well, see, that's the thing. No. I mean, when you look at it, the Cruiserweight title booked. The U.S. title booked. It's a one-on-one match. The IC title has now been booked. What we're getting our multi-person matches are with the women's titles. Both women's titles. The Raw women's title is a Fatal 4-Way. The SmackDown women's title is a multi-woman match. You know, we still haven't got a finalized version of that. It doesn't seem like we're going to get our ladder match this year.
There is still one outside possibility. Correct me if I'm wrong. The Cruiserweight match that's been booked so far is Austin Aries versus Neville for the title. That's correct?
Correct.
We could still... What about a number one contendership for the Cruiserweight title? And, you know, that being the ladder match. And what better than Cruiserweights to be in a ladder match?
The thing is that, I mean, that works. I can see them doing a multi-man match. I think we're going to get a multi-man match for the Cruiserweights on the pre-show. Now, I don't know if it's going to be a number one contender. I doubt it's going to be a ladder match, just in the sense of, when's the last time WWE did a ladder match that wasn't either Money in the Bank or for a title?
True. Absolutely true. You're right. Actually, what the fuck am I saying? What are they going to try? What are they going to go up the ladder for? A contract? Or that doesn't even make any sense. Okay.
So far...
Disregard what I just said.
Our confirmed card for WrestleMania 33 is Goldberg and Brock Lesnar for the United States title, Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton for the WWE title, the Raw Women's Championship with Bayley, Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and Nia Jax. We got Undertaker versus Roman, Seth Rollins versus Triple H for the United States Championship, Chris Jericho versus Kevin Owens, AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon, John Cena and Nikki Bella versus The Miz and Maurice. For the Raw Tag Team Champions, we have Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson versus Enzo Amore, Cass, and Sheamus and Cesaro. Then we have the Women's SmackDown, the SmackDown Women's title match, the Cruiserweight Championship match for Neville and Austin Aries, and then, of course, the Andre Memorial Battle Royal. And then confirmed tonight, Dean Ambrose versus Baron Corbin. So that's what, 10 matches right there?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see how it goes. You have to think that you want, because every other title is represented, that SmackDown tag team title is going to have a match, at least on the pre-show.
Well, also, don't really count Goldberg and Lesnar. I mean, I honestly believe the match is going to be about 5 minutes, if that. And I'm being dead serious. I don't think it's going to be more than five. The entrances is going to want, it's going to take most of the time in that match.
Well, that, and then you have Undertaker's entrance. So between that, That's an hour and a half minutes right there.
Yeah, I know.
So, D-Will, you still with us?
I'm here.
Any thoughts on that WrestleMania card so far?
Oh, that's a hell of a lot of matches, and half of them don't mean squat. Really. I really hope there's a ladder match, and I'm hoping it's the SmackDown tag team titles. Just throw the SmackDown tag teams and put them in there. Usos, Alpha... Who else is there? Fought Villains, Ascension. Where's the Spirit Squad spin? Never seen them in hell.
Oh, they're gone. They were only there for that Dolph Ziggler and Miz feud. They're done now. I don't think they were actually ever signed.
They're not still on the roster? Are they back on the Illuminati page?
I don't know.
No, I think that's a one-off type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, and you got to look. So, I think that the pre-show is going to kick off with Samoa Joe and Sami Zayn. That's my prediction for pre-show. That's not anything that's been announced yet, but I think we get that. And I do think we get a SmackDown tag team tag team title match, and then we also are probably going to get a match with the rest of the cruiserweights. That pushes that WrestleMania card up to 13 matches right there.
Wow. That's a big friggin' card. I mean, how have they really said exactly how long it's supposed to be this year? Is it 4 hours and 2 hours for the pre-show, or 5 hours and 2 hours for the pre-show?
It's 4 and 2. Last year, I think WrestleMania was 6.5 hours. So,
it's a lot of wrestling.
Just be prepared. Be prepared. Hopefully, that all the matches deliver. I was about to say tonight, but deliver on WrestleMania tonight, because I know you're going to be there in attendance wearing your WWPN shirt representing.
Swallow it.
So throughout this night, we got the unaired Total Bellas, Total Divas, whatever they were calling it, with The Miz playing John Cena and Maryse playing Nikki Bella. The Miz is gold, man. These segments were hilarious. JB, what are your thoughts here?
Oh my god, I'll even go one step further. And I got to say those. I think we got about 2 or 3 segments from those guys tonight, and easily the best thing on SmackDown. And I think SmackDown was pretty good tonight, which we'll get into later. But oh my god, so funny, so absolutely funny. Both Miz playing John Cena and Maryse playing Nikki Bella was just absolute. Whoever wrote this is friggin' absolute gold. What about you, Diva? What'd you think?
I agree. This was absolutely fucking hilarious. If you weren't a Miz fan of The Miz before, how can you not be after tonight? Like, honestly, and his impressions of Cena is just brought on with his monotone and pretending to propose. All that shit. If you actually watch Total Bellas and Total Divas like I do, that shit's funny on another level, you know? But saying that, I'm still not excited for this matchup. I still don't care about it. I'm still boycotting it. I'll probably get 2 extra slices of pizza during this matchup.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to this match. I think that the story that's been built up between these guys alone is going to have me watching this match and anticipating a little bit. I don't think that it's going to steal the show or anything, but this is WrestleMania. It's not just about the wrestling. It's about the spectacle. And so with that being said, I'm looking forward to this match, and I did not think I would be saying that when we started guessing this is where they were going a few months ago.
The biggest thing I'm looking forward to in this matchup is their entrances. I'm wondering how Cena and Nikki are going to come out. I know The Miz and Maryse, they're going to come out with some huge fanfare. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I think they're going to do something big if the rumors are true and this is going to be Nikki's match for a while or ever. I don't know, whatever. I'm pretty sure they're going to do something big considering it's both of them. I don't know what they're going to do. But here's the main question. Are we going to get the John Cena proposal at the end?
Absolutely.
I would love to see John Cena get down on one knee and say, Nikki, will you get the fuck out of my house? And then just drop an A on her, and John Cena finally goes heel at WrestleMania 33 in Orlando. The ultimate thrill ride. See it on the WWE Network for $9.99.
Never going to happen. Never going to happen.
He's going to get one knee and say, Nikki, you're the only one who can see me. Or some shit like that.
Oh, man.
No, he's not proposing for shit. They will never get married. Cena doesn't want to be married. Nikki's just gonna have to accept that and move on.
The fact that they kept going back to it in this promo makes me think that it's happening. And this isn't the first time it's been mentioned. If you pay attention, almost every time The Miz has talked about John Cena, they've mentioned something about them never getting married. I think it's happening. I usually will agree with that standpoint, D. Will, that John Cena's never getting married. But they still may not get married. We're just talking about a proposal. It's not like they're going to get married in the same night. It could even be a work, but he's going to get down on one knee and propose at WrestleMania.
If he does do that, because there's no way they're going to do a fake marriage proposal. Actually, that's what I'm about to say. They're going to do a fake marriage proposal, because if they're teasing it this much, you had to know his real proposal isn't going to be at WrestleMania. He had to have already done it by now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what's next?
But, I mean, friggin' Nikki is, you know, she's in, I don't know. We'll see what we get with that.
So, Randy Orton and Baron Corbin had a match tonight, if you want to call it a match. I mean, I guess it was kind of what you expected. I like the fact that Dean Ambrose distracted Baron Corbin, and he didn't lose clean. I like that because, you know, I have a lot of hope for Baron Corbin in the future. But what did you guys think about this match? Was there any chemistry here? Do we get a feud later down the road between Randy Orton and Baron Corbin? Do you think he's ready for it? We talked about previously how Baron Corbin's been stepping it up when he's in the ring with main event talent. I don't really feel like he kind of did. He kind of kept that going tonight. And I don't know, maybe everybody's just trying to work safe because they don't want to get hurt before Mania. But what did you guys think about the match? And we'll talk about what happened after we break down the match itself.
So for me, and I could be totally wrong on this, but at least in my opinion, I didn't really like this match that much. I don't feel like these two had chemistry. I can't recall if they've ever fought before. Maybe one time that I can remember. But yeah, I don't think they had chemistry. And CEO, you called it right. It could be that they're just trying to be safe because WrestleMania is right around the corner. Ain't no one trying to get injured. But I don't know. I don't feel like they had chemistry in this one. I kind of reverted to my old thoughts that I used to have on Baron Corbin a couple months ago. I wasn't feeling this match. I don't know. Just wasn't for me. What do you think, D-Will?
Baron Corbin and Randy Orton were on autopilot this match. They didn't care. They didn't take any risk, which they shouldn't. They're so close to WrestleMania. They didn't go out of their way to entertain the crowd at all or entertain the audience at home. They just, hey, you guys go have a match. Okay, yeah, whatever. Don't wait for WrestleMania. It was just a filler. That meant absolutely nothing. It didn't progress anything except for when Dean Ambrose came out.
Yeah. I mean, so after the fact, we do get Randy Orton in the backstage segment getting interviewed. Where when the lights go off, Randy Orton knows it's Bray Wyatt, where a bunch of sheep-faced people pop up around him. I was hoping that this was going to be the return of Eric Rowan, but it was not, at least as far as we know, who then attack Randy Orton. And Bray Wyatt comes out, who continues attacking Randy Orton and sings, "I got the whole world in my hands," and mentions how now he has the power of Sister Abigail. I don't know, guys. I mean, here, these backstage, it feels like there's being more taken out of this feud with Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton every time they decide to do something like this. It just seemed awkward to me. And I know where they were going for, and I think there's a version of this that could have went over with me at least, but it just, the execution here didn't do it for me. D-Will, tell me I'm crazy. This backstage segment with Randy and Bray, did it do anything for you?
I think the problem is this backstage segment was good. But that's all we got of the WWE champion and this feud going forward. Was there any other mention of these guys on the show?
No, not that I think of. Remember.
These guys are getting like one segment a week to try to build up their WrestleMania match, and it is literally the fourth hyped match on SmackDown behind Nikki and Maryse and all them, the Intercontinental title, what else? AJ Styles and Shane. And the women's title. I'm even going to put it below the women's championship. That's getting more hyped than this. So, and I'm really sick of Bray Wyatt singing he's got the whole world in his hands. Play Pandora's song. He needs to pick a new song.
Well, pick a new song right now. Book a new song for Bray Wyatt to sing. What would it be?
Rosemary's Lullaby. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I can't say I have. I thought you were going to start singing it.
I know, me too.
He just got completely silent. I'm like, okay, is he going to give an example? All right. No, my bad.
My microphone was on mute, so I don't know what happened. But there's this rock version. Take the time to look up Rosemary's Lullaby. And the song is literally la 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 throughout the whole thing, but it's done in a menacing, dark kind of way that would fit Bray Wyatt's character tremendously. So.
Yeah, my issue with this entire feud is I understood the way it started and everything that happened with the burning down of the house and everything. And I think what WWE is doing is usually in Bray Wyatt feuds, there's a lot of talking, a lot of story building, and not never too much physicality. But I think that's what's lacking this feud. There's not enough physicality. I understand this blueprint has worked with Bray in the past, but I feel like it needs something more, especially considering they're going to the biggest show of the year for you know, all intents and purposes, it's the second biggest title on the brand, or I should say in the company. So absolutely, there needs to be more for this guy. I hope next week, you know, D-Will, I know you were talking about the pull apart with AJ and Shane. I think we need to see that between Bray and Randy Orton, which we're probably not going to see. It's probably going to see some segments again where they're apart, or maybe we see Eric Rowan on Bray Wyatt's behalf. I don't know, but something needs to happen more than that's happening now. I'm tired of the backstage segments. It was pretty cool seeing all those guys, but we need to see something more.
Absolutely. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. There's really not much left to be said after that.
Is Eric Rowan healthy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been cleared, right, CEO?
Yeah, he's been cleared. He's been cleared for, I think, like over a month now at this point. He's been cleared. So that tells me that they're either planning something with him after Mania or during Mania, or maybe we get something next week. But I think that, you know, with them keeping him out as long as they have, because you would think that he would have something to do in this feud considering his family broke up, they have to be saving him for a reason, right, JB?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But, man, it's WWE logic. What do you, you know, Eric Rowan's probably the same place that friggin' Emma and Ava Marie are right now, which is, got, you know, in the back of Vince McMahon's locker or something. I mean, I have no idea at this point. But I'm sure we'll see him eventually.
This could have been the perfect setup to have Eric Rowan versus Luke Harper at WrestleMania. Eric still's looking up to Bray Wyatt as a father figure. Luke Harper's like, nah, kid, you can't cap, you can't have none of that. Come over to me, join the cool kids. You don't need to deal with that idiot.
I do have a question for you guys, real quick, before we move on. I'm pretty sure we're probably going to get Luke Harper inserted into this match as a three-way. Does Luke Harper being inserted into the match automatically pretty much guarantee Randy Orton winning the title? And my thinking is, Luke Harper is inserted into the match, so Randy Orton goes around Luke Harper, still keeps Bray Wyatt strong. Do you think there's anything behind that, or it's up in the air, all three of the guys have a shot? What do you think, CEO?
I mean, I think everybody has a shot, but does WWE think everybody has a shot? That's the question. True. I mean, because everybody is at the point to where legitimately they have a reason to why they could, but, you know, unfortunately, we're not the bookers. We've already established that we'd be better bookers in some sense than this, especially D-Will. We'll get to D-Will's booking, I'm pretty sure, a little Absolutely. Bit later. As JB just deep throated his water, like he just took that straight to the head.
No comment.
Hydrated.
I don't even know what to say.
Doing his best Paige impression, I see. this is a Paige Tackler version of the Blue Zone, by the way. Anything else, D-Will, before we move on to the next segment?
JB, were you talking about Harper being inserted into the WrestleMania matchup?
I don't know.
Good lord. I can't with you, JB. Shit. I have no idea what I was going to say now. Let's move on.
Moving on, we're gonna get we got John Cena versus Fandango in the opening to this match. The everybody walking in was way more exciting to me than the actual match. Like, once Tyler Breeze came to the entranceway dressed up as Nikki Bella, I died. Like, I'm not even gonna lie, I completely died. Full Nikki Bella attire, made his way to the ring, teased to do the little flip over the ropes that he did not do. What did you guys think about this?
Well, this is my
jabber of the week.
Who picked John Cena to go against Fandango of all people? He couldn't have gone against Dolph Ziggler or somebody of actual relevance. And not, maybe even Tyler Breeze. I don't like Fandango at all. I've always been pro Breeze over Fandango. But whatever. What about you, JB?
Yeah, I mean, the most entertaining thing of that whole match and segment and everything was easily Breezy Bella, as they called it. I mean, I thought that was hilarious. And the fact that Tyler Breeze was willing to do that, I mean, I'm sure he didn't have much of a say anyway. He's just happy to be on friggin' television at this point. I thought it was, that part was pretty funny. But honestly, I think the reason they did this random match was to play off of that whole South, what was that thing called? The Southern Regional Wrestling? It was because it was Fandango and John Cena that played the commentators. Is that correct?
Yeah, Southpaw Regional Wrestling.
Yeah, what were their names? Chet and I think Fandango was Chet, and I forgot what John Cena's name was.
I don't remember the name. Some I don't remember the names, but that I remember off the top of my head are Tex Ferguson and Chad Too Bad, because those are my favorite two characters.
Tex Ferguson, I loved. Luke Gallows. If you guys haven't seen the SRW.
Wait. Misery. And I got to stop calling you D-Will. I know you changed your persona. Misery Williams. Have you saw Southpaw Regional Wrestling yet? Have you seen?
I have not. For Crooked? It's on my to-do list.
No, you need to put that at the top of your to-do list. Like, I don't know what you're doing the rest of your night. I'm telling you right now, because I tuned into it the first episode and I was like, I'm probably not going to like this, but I got to try it out. And I watched all four episodes in one sitting. Like, I think all four episodes put together are still like under 30 minutes. It was hilarious. It's way better than when I suggested you watch Something Strange About the Johnsons. Like, this one you will legitimately enjoy.
But let me tell you, and I've read reports. I've read reports online. Luke Gallows is probably the most popular guy backstage. Everybody apparently loves him. He's like super over with the guys backstage. And in addition to that stuff that they did on their YouTube channel, I believe it was on their YouTube channel or W.com, I don't remember. The new ride-along that showed last night with Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, oh my God, was it hilarious. They had, for you guys that didn't see it, they had a cutout of AJ Styles in the back and a cutout of Finn Balor in the back. I'm not going to go more into detail, but just watch it. It's freaking hilarious.
Yeah, those guys are absolutely, and this is why it bothers me how they've been booking, the fact that they don't get more mic time, because those two guys are both fabulous talkers. Like, Carl Anderson, and I've been saying it for everyone who doesn't know, Carl Anderson, I'm telling you right now, is at least the second best person on the mic in all of WWE, but he doesn't get fucking mic time. No. D-Will.
Luke is much more entertaining than Carl.
No, he's more entertaining, but I'm talking about cutting a promo. I mean, if you go out there and you cut a promo, Carl Anderson is, go research, go look. Carl Anderson is a way better promo than Luke Gallows. If you're doing a whole promo from start to finish, Carl Anderson will tell a better story and have you more engaged. Luke Gallows will do more things that are funny, more things that are hilarious, more things that may be entertaining in of themselves. But as a whole entire promo to carry and push a program or push a storyline forward, Carl Anderson is way better than Luke Gallows, in my opinion.
Good comeback there, D-Will. Or should I say Misery?
Until I see his work, I can't really comment on it.
I mean, I completely understand why you would have the opinion of Luke. Like, and I'm not saying that to shit on Luke Gallows at all, because I think he's great too. He's a great talker. He's entertaining. He's funny. But as an actual promo, Carl Anderson is more versatile to me. It's not just comedy. Like, the guy will do something. As my son just goes crazy in the background. See, look, he's going crazy. He heard Carl Anderson.
He just saw them page leaks. That's what it is.
Oh, he's begging for mercy.
Oh, see, man.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. Okay, so moving forward, I don't even know how to keep going after this. The Diva segment. I'm sorry, there are no Divas. The Women's Superstar segment of tonight. It was supposed to be a match between Carmella and Becky Lynch.
They're fucking Divas. Fuck that.
it devolved into a all-out brawl between all the women. And JB's bae, Alexa Bliss, ended up standing tall. Well, as tall as she can stand, holding the title up over all the women in the division. That just tells me there's no way in hell she's leaving Mania with this title.
Yeah, double-edged sword for me. I was happy to see her stand in all of her 5-foot glory, but that's just pretty much guaranteeing she's not walking out of WrestleMania with the title, which pretty much sucks. But I would like to go ahead and bring up at this point in time my
jabber of the week
has to absolutely be Natalya on commentary. Natalya saying, and I understand it's part of her shtick or whatever, saying she's the best there is, best there was, and best there ever will be. Obviously, I'm a huge Bret Hart fan. She is nowhere close to being with that title. I mean, she can't cut a fucking promo. She can barely wrestle. She botches everything she does. She's awkward. She's a cat lady. You know, I mean, what
she's
does she have
going on in the ring? Oh, come on. You just completely buried Natalya.
That bitch been buried. Next.
Everything else he said is true, but Natalya, she's thick as fuck, number one. She is thick. Okay. And she's a good wrestler.
I was trying to keep the creep level low, though. I mean, you want to stay if you want to raise the creep level, I mean, she got them teats on fleek. I mean, amazing tits, but other than that, she got nothing. CEO's expressions are hilarious right now. Are gold right now. Hall of Fame worthy right now.
You see why we need to get this on video? Like, just certain segments. This is why we need to put up certain parts of this on the YouTube channel, because this is hilarious. I don't even know what to say in response to that, JB. Like, it's done. I think you and D Will pretty much hit everything that needed to be said on Natalya. Who's your guys' pick as it stands right now? We still have another week to win this SmackDown Women's title.
Eva Marie. She's going to make her surprise return. All red, everything. You feel me? She's going to walk out with the championship without having to lift a finger. Everybody else is going to do the dirty work. Eva Marie, that's my pick, JB.
Yeah, my pick to win the SmackDown Women's Championship is Naomi.
Yeah, I think it's not going to be any of the women who are on TV tonight, only because literally every, as far as we know, healthy member of the SmackDown Women's roster was in that little vignette or that picture that they showed, and they're still announcing it as every available woman on the SmackDown roster. So that means that there's still at least somebody who may have a chance, or that they're planning on on debuting or coming back for this match. I'm with D-Will. My pick is Eva Marie. I think Eva Marie's walking out with that title.
Do you guys really legit think?
I do. I really legit think Eva Marie's walking away with the title. I mean, and I'm not saying it just to double. I said it last week too, so we're not just trying to double team up on you, JB. I think Eva Marie's walking away with this title.
Yeah, don't fucking page me, man. Don't do that.
Oh no.
If Naomi does walk out WrestleMania with this championship, and seeing as Jay's one half of the tag champions, I'd like to see him do a kind of a power couple type deal.
Oh, that'd be nice. Know?
So yeah, you think they would turn Naomi Hill?
Yeah, I think they would. I would. I mean, turn Natalya back to face, because good lord, our heel turn isn't working. So we can even it out that way.
But is Naomi way too likable to be a heel? I can't see her being a heel.
They would have to change her entrance and everything. And her
clothes and everything. Yeah,
like, I don't know.
When she initially turned heel a couple years ago against, I think it was Paige that she turned. Yeah, it was Paige, I believe, she turned heel against. She's all that Team Bad stuff was great. She was just underutilized.
Oh, she can be a bitch. She was good as a heel. I don't think that either one of us have a problem with her as a heel, because she was a good heel in that women's division with Team Bad. It's more so everything they've invested in having her as a face, like that entrance, the gear would have to change. She'd need new music. She'd need a whole new character, which, I mean, it's not out the realm of possibility that they do, but you really just got everybody behind her and build her up since this brand split to she finally won that women's title. Unfortunately, she had to drop it, but do you give all that up to turn someone heel so they can run with the Usos, who probably aren't going to have those titles for long, unfortunately?
Yeah, definitely not the right move for her. She's pretty over as a face. And I mean, right now, WWE always has that, I don't know what you want to call it, that type of gimmick where they want to get the crowd interaction going. They had it with Fandango for a little while. They had it with Brodus Clay. And I think this is their gimmick, their interaction with the crowd gimmick. You know, the music hits and the crowd starts going, and you know, so I don't see this gimmick going anywhere for a while, at least.
She doesn't necessarily have to turn heel. Jay could turn into this abusive, possessive, don't look at my beautiful, big booty girl type husband. And every time she's making her, he's coming out like, turn on these goddamn lights, fucking put this robe on, we're going back, you're not doing this match.
D-Will always try to take shit dark.
That would be instant heat.
Yay.
To cover that up, that would be instant heat. I mean, so yeah, D Will again. He's gonna book. He books everything. He figures out a way to make it happen. People, this man needs to be booking for WWE.
No shit, no kidding. On my lunch break, I book every pay per view, and I am already up to WrestleMania 35.
Oh wow!
What?
in my booking.
You need I think you need to release that on our website.
What if we're missing the mark though? Hold on, I have a theory.
Sure.
What if Paige is the one to surprise entry into this match and win the SmackDown Women's title? Would that be what? Do you see Vince trying to capitalize off what's going on now by doing something like that?
No. I think she's a Raw superstar anyway.
That doesn't mean anything. They look at Jack Swagger. He appeared on Raw and he was on SmackDown the very next night.
That's true, but I think she's still legit hurt.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm just spitballing here.
I honestly believe we have a better chance at seeing like Ava Marie or friggin' Fabulous Moolah over Paige at this point, to be honest. They're gonna keep her off for a while if she's, God knows if she's ever gonna come back.
Yeah, that's just me being silly.
Well, she's coming.
Well, technically.
Well, she came already.
Yeah, and
we don't know that for sure.
Somebody came on her.
No, we don't know.
Okay, well, we do know what happened to her, on her.
Oh, yeah.
In the title.
And that goddamn women's championship belt, so those poor women who have held it after her.
I was about to say, what if, like, you, like your child...
Is he held that championship?
That's what I'm saying. Like, damn, is he got Maddoxed? Can you say that? I mean...
That is hella disrespectful by Paige and whoever's winning that was, man. Because we don't know for sure who it was. Could have been
anybody, so... Okay, let's move on. We touched on it, but it did end the show. So I think we do need to end our show, at least speaking a little bit about it. That's this interaction between Shane McMahon and AJ Styles. As we already broke down, him missing the elbow drop on the table. All I want to ask you guys is this. Who's going over? And then we're going to get into our ratings. But who's going over in this WrestleMania match? Shane McMahon or AJ Styles?
I'll go ahead and go first on this one. I really hope and pray AJ Styles goes over on this one. But I think everything points to Shane McMahon winning. I don't see where it makes sense from a booking standpoint or storyline standpoint for AJ to win. Because if AJ wins, then where do you go with the story? Okay, I just beat the GM. Okay, so we'll just move forward now. We're a happy family again. I see it play out where AJ loses. He takes his bags and goes to Raw, and we get a switch because that's been rumored forever, which would absolutely suck. I really don't want AJ to lose, though, considering he lost last year against Jericho at WrestleMania in his debut WrestleMania. How long is it going to be until he picks up a W at WrestleMania? I know it could be considered petty, but give the man the friggin' win. Considering he's willing to do this match, give him the friggin' win. D-Will, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I feel like Shane McMahon is overdue for a win. I think he's going to win this matchup, even though he shouldn't. The only way I can think of that they can do this with Shane McMahon winning and me being okay with it is if somebody, he has this big enforcer, this match turns into a no DQ match, and he has this big enforcer like take out AJ Styles, destroys him, and then he pins him. Other Who's than that, I mean, AJ just, oh, shit, it could be anybody. Braun Strowman's probably not going to be doing anything at WrestleMania, so maybe he calls him over to be his monster of choice. Or somebody from NXT. I don't know. But, yeah, I think Shane McMahon wins this match somehow, someway. Even though AJ Styles deserves so much better. What do you think, CEO?
I think AJ Styles is going over. I think he's going to go over and beat Shane, either cheat to win or beat Shane so bad that they have to trade him to Raw. Like, you just can't have somebody completely undermining you after they beat your ass at the biggest show of the year. So, I think that's how we're going to get it. And I think we're going to get the club riding together for a little while. I think, cause you also got rumored that Roman Reigns may be coming over to SmackDown. So I think that
may be the switch.
Yeah. I think that may be the switch.
Even more.
It would, but I think that'd be the switch. That's just me coming off the top of my head. We'll see how it's booked going forward.
Ooh, go ahead, D-Will. Shield 2.0 with the Usos. Okay. I'm down with that.
You know what? I actually like that idea. Here goes
Oh my god.
So ratings for Raw, ratings for SmackDown, goddamn you, JB. For SmackDown this week, JB, you go first.
Even though it wasn't a perfect SmackDown, we still got some good stuff. We got some bad stuff, some good stuff. I'm going to go ahead and say down the middle. I'll go ahead and give this one a 6.29.
That's very specific.
Exactly. Absolutely. Very, very specific.
Debo, what do you think?
I think the show had more good spots than it did bad spots. So I'm going to say 7.5. That's me being generous. I had to take in consideration the era and the time that we live in now. Otherwise, this show would be a 3. There you go.
Me, this show was about a 6.5. I like that they put some firm things in place for WrestleMania. Some things that we could guess at, but they made it official. So that way, next week we get the builds, all those matches. We probably get a lot of pullaways. Just who knows what SmackDown is going to be next week. So I like what they did in that sense, but the execution on a few of these things just didn't really hit home to me. The whole Baron Corbin, Randy Orton thing, yet another first time match that I feel like they kind of wasted, and everybody seemed awkward in that. The Bray Wyatt thing with Randy Orton backstage, I said I didn't like that either. While there were some things that I liked, there were equal parts things that I didn't. So 6.5 would be my score this week. And what you have it. I just noticed something. We have not got a JB fucking meter in a while. I'm going to need that back next week. Not this week. Save it. But I need it back next week.
The fucking meter is currently being reworked. So it will absolutely, as per the boss's request, be back next week.
Absolutely. Great, great. And speaking of being back, now that we're done reviewing SmackDown, we have the return. This is only for OG WWPN listeners, because I think this was around maybe our first month. You got to be an OG listener to even know what this is, and that is, D-Will, introduce your segment, brother.
This is the UL segment, Unorthodox Opinion, presented by Misery Williams. Talk about a throwback, man. This is going way back. CEO, go ahead and hit my music.
Unorthodox Opinion, presented by Misery Williams.
I want to throw you out just an idea I had, or something else I'm thinking about. And not that I necessarily think this will play out this way, but in my opinion, it should. You guys ready?
Yes, do it.
Enzo Amore should become a world champion before Big Cass.
I can get on board with that.
It depends on the story that's being told with it. I can see a version of that to where, let's say somehow Enzo and Big Cass get put in a four-way or whatever for the title. Big Cass does all the work, gets knocked out. Somehow Enzo lands on top of him and lands on top of anyone else and wins that title. I can see it being done some type of way like that.
Yeah, and that could also lead to probably Enzo's heel turn. But when I look at Enzo and Cass, and please no disrespect to friggin' HBK, it kind of reminds me a little bit of HBK and Diesel back in the day. You had the little guy and then you had the big dude or whatever. Obviously, these two guys are nowhere in the same class as Shawn Michaels. But yeah, I could absolutely see Enzo winning the world title. I think it would be exactly the way CEO said, where like it was like a four-way whatever and Enzo kind of snuck in and won it. Winning the title one-on-one straight up, I don't see how that can ever happen, to be honest with you. I really don't see it.
When I see Enzo Amore, I kind of, for some reason, I think of Eddie Guerrero. They're the same physique to me. I feel like if he were to go up against Brock Lesnar and there was interference from Goldberg, like that No Way Out matchup, I think we could be a little surprised, you know? I think Enzo has what it takes. Not now. I'm talking about 3-4 years from now to be one of the top guys. Legit.
Well,
because I think his ceiling is the mid card, quite honestly.
Big Cass is going to be a future world champion. It's going to happen. You might as well just eat that up. He's going to get that title and he's probably going to crash and burn because Vince is going to pull the trigger way too early. But Big Cass is winning that title. Matter of fact, like I said, your main event, or for at least a pay-per-view in 2018, is going to be Big Cass versus Roman Reigns for some version of a world title.
In what year?
2018.
No, not Big Cass. Roman Reigns, obviously, but not Big Cass.
Watch. Watch. Mr. Fap Down. So, I mean, D-Will, anything else on this unorthodox opinion before we move forward?
Well, I've got another one if you guys are done talking about Enzo Amore. I got the last one for the night. And we'll do two more next week. All right. Mick Foley. Since we'll talk about him since he just recently got fired. Mick Foley should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Absolutely. I don't think you can any argument he wasn't that.
Yeah, I mean, there's absolutely no question, but I don't think, like, how they do in sports, the term first ballot, I don't think that that's such a big play in the sports entertainment world. It doesn't matter if you go and write. Very rarely do we see someone retire and go in immediately, at least as far as I've seen. I mean, I could think of a couple times, Edge, Ric Flair, Sting. Other than that, I can't really think of too many people, you know, too many people Kurt that got inducted. No, you consider Kurt Angle a first ballot?
Hell yeah.
Oh, actually, not a first because ballot. But he's been out of action for a while, really. Like, mainstream action, as far as I know.
Just a couple months ago, I think he was in WCPW fighting Cody Rhodes, I believe.
Yeah, he did have a match for What Culture Pro Wrestling or whatever it's called. But that's kind of, that was like a one-off type of thing. But, you know, I mean, there's some guys who were in the freaking Hall of Fame that still have matches all the time. Like some of these, actually Jim Duggan still has matches. So, you know, you can never really say. So I don't think they play up, to answer your question, I don't think they play up the first time ballot thing that much. Real quick though, on the Hall of Fame, they haven't announced, as far as I know, they haven't announced the celebrity, who's going in the celebrity wing. Do you guys have any ideas who you think it'll be?
I don't think we get one.
Really?
I don't think we get one this year.
That would be shocking, considering they've been doing it every year for the last 7-8 years or so, maybe even longer than that.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like this Hall of Fame thing is final. When's the last time they announced a Hall of Famer? The week before WrestleMania? I don't think it's ever happened. Usually, we already have all the names by now, so I don't think.
Do you think it was supposed to be Shaq, but because the match fell over, they said, "Yeah, fuck it."
That's possible. Fuck. That's possible for sure. D. Will, your thoughts there?
Floyd Mayweather, he's trying to get a match with Conor McGregor. They're trying to get Conor McGregor to come to WWE. Floyd Mayweather, I'll just throw that out there just for kicks and giggles.
Yeah, I don't think we get one. We'll see. But I'm pretty sure we're not going to. You'll be there, so you'll be there delivering on the minute news updates from the Hall of Fame at WWE this year.
What they need to do is induct the friggin' hacker. It's what they need to do. That's just my take.
The hacker.
The hacker.
Now that's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
That I know they should have had, but it was way ahead of its time. But can you imagine that could have been a perfect gimmick back in the '90s when everyone had a gimmick? Like he's just walking down the aisle and just throwing out pictures to the fans, leaks to the fans, and that would have been the perfect gimmick in the mid-90s. I mean, they had everything else. Why not that?
Oh man! All right, before we move too far into the creep zone and get ourselves fired, we're gonna get into this week's Markdown. And considering that last week I took home the title, the inaugural Markdown title.
Wait, I just want to say that was complete bullshit. That match was still went over under protest. So you're just there's an asterisk by your name.
That's fine. I still have the title. You can put 50 asterisks next to it, and I'm still going to be the damn champion. So that's fine. You can put whatever you want to next to my name.
It don't count in the record books.
I make the record books here at the WWPN. So this week it's going to be D Will versus JB. I have the questions ready here. Are you guys ready?
Man, I don't know shit about SmackDown, but sure.
Let's get ready for
the SmackDown.
JB, we'll have you go first. Baron Corbin's first televised match on WWE television was a loss, who did he lose against?
Huh. Dolph Ziggler?
That's your final answer.
That is my final answer.
That is incorrect. D. Will, do you want to try for the steal?
You're saying WWE Television does include NXT?
Yes.
Time's up.
Then, shit. Fucking, what's that one guy's name? Bull Dempsey. Shit. Final answer.
No. You guys are both wrong. It was actually a loss against Damian Sandow.
This was on SmackDown?
This was on NXT Television.
The fuck? This is a SmackDown trivia.
No, it's about SmackDown superstars. It could be anything in their career.
And that's why the CEO. Great.
All right, D-Will, next question to you. Who was the SmackDown general manager in 2013?
So 2013?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Vicky Guerrero?
Is that your final answer?
It's going to have to be.
Incorrect. It is actually not Vicky Guerrero. JB. For the steal and the first point, first person to get on the board, who was the SmackDown general manager in 2013?
In 2013?
Yes.
2013. I'm going to take a guess and go with Brad Maddox.
Incorrect. It was Booker T. Come on, fellas.
Damn it.
Come on now.
I forgot all about that fucking run he had.
I wasn't, JB. Man, I wasn't watching SmackDown until it moved to Tuesday nights, for fuck's sake.
JB, we're going to come to you on this one. July 4th, 2002, Kurt Angle won a WWE World title. Who did he defeat?
I'm going to take a guess on this one and say John Cena. That's not fucking right. I have no idea.
Wrong. D-Will, for the steal, Kurt Angle, July 4th, 2002, who did he defeat for the WWE title?
July 4th, 2002?
Yes.
You sure you got that year right?
Because yes,
I'm currently on 2002. I passed it, and I can't think of Kurt Angle having the world championship at that time.
Stop Googling.
Yeah, no Google. No Google.
I'm not on Google. Shit, I'm going to throw out Undertaker.
You are actually correct for the first point. And to get on the board, it was The Undertaker. That was the infamous, I made you tap out, when he looked at Undertaker and told him he made him tap out. Because he tapped out that match and Kurt Angle won the title.
Wait, okay. No, that's not true at all.
That Undertaker is true.
In a wild match?
Yes.
Wow, never seen this happen before. Have you ever seen a guy win and then he's like, tell the referee, nah, man, hold up. I didn't win. I actually lost.
No, but I'm just trying to get this right because, Hogan was champion at Judgment Day. He lost it to Undertaker that night. Undertaker then lost it to The Rock in a triple threat match, I think. No, he lost it to Triple H. Triple H lost it to, who the fuck did he lose it to? I don't know, man. You got me all fucked up because that can't be true at all.
It was true. Go look. I can send you the link. It was July 4th, 2002. It was in Boston, Massachusetts. It was a match for the Undisputed title. The Undertaker versus Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle made Undertaker tap out. And the referee tells him. And Kurt Angle gets pissed off. He attacks the Undertaker. He then locks the Undertaker in an ankle lock. He releases the hold. And as he's leaving, he tells Undertaker, I made you tap with the Undisputed title.
I never knew Undertaker tapped out. First time. I never knew that.
Google that, man.
And was that the time Undertaker was hitting him at the same time?
I believe so.
What WrestleMania was that year?
I don't remember. We're going too far into it. I have no idea.
I know, right?
All right, next. Because I believe you stole that one, so we're coming back to you on this.
Okay, go ahead.
What superstar has the most matches in SmackDown history?
I'm going to say Edge.
Incorrect.
Final answer.
Incorrect.
Wow.
D-Will.
That's incorrect. Whew. I actually thought that was good. That's exactly who I was thinking. Wow. I have someone in mind, but that can't be right. Fuck it, I'll say John Cena.
Incorrect. John Cena actually is not even in the top 10. So
you don't have to fucking rub it in.
Rey Mysterio actually has the most SmackDown matches with 285. Followed closely by behind Matt Hardy with 267, then Kane with 236, then The Big Show with 234, and the fifth one is Edge with 221 matches. That's it.
Yeah, that was close.
D. Will.
Wait, there was no warning or anything?
What do you mean? It's four questions, and then we have the tiebreaker fifth question. Just do you want to give JB a chance to tie with what was supposed to be the tiebreaker question? Do you want to give him a chance?
Throwback question, for God's sake.
Hell no, I'm the winner.
Come on, D-Will. So
you can walk away with some type of that you answered something right. I'm gonna give you this
is for one. The appreciation award.
This is for the participation trophy.
Yes, the participation trophy.
What is Randy Orton's original finisher?
His original finisher
in WWE on the main roster, none of that OVW or any of that crap. His original finisher on the main roster, what is it?
I have absolutely no idea. The Million Dollar Dream? I have no idea.
D-Will, do you happen to know this?
It's something similar to the Famouser, I think. I forget what it's called, but doesn't he like put his leg over his head, grab his arm,
and then like exactly turn a certain way? It's called the Ozone or the Overdrive, but it's better known as the Playmaker, which it was MVP's finisher.
Yeah, okay.
So there we go. It's going to be a rematch, not next week, because next week I do have I had a challenge to Andrew Bello, who's going to appear. So the week after WrestleMania, D. Will, it's me and you for the SmackDown title.
Wait, so he gets my championship opportunity?
No, it's not a championship opportunity. This is just me and him having a match. This is just me and Andrew having a match for sport. He's actually not taking your championship opportunity because he's not a member of the Blue Zone. So he can't technically do that. But go ahead. Tell the people, how are you gonna defeat your boss, the CEO, and the SmackDown champion? What are your plans?
I'm just doing what I do, and that's simply being better. You feel me? So bring it.
Yo, don't worry, bro. Misery, I got you, man. We'll do some friggin' Montreal screw job. I'll text you all the questions before we start.
Perfect.
Screw it.
But you see how my questions were so much more better than JB's last week? Do you see that?
I think your
question. No, that NXT question was bullshit.
Exactly. Word.
That was not bullshit.
Wait till it's my turn. I'm gonna be asking questions about Glow and shit. Watch.
As long as they have someone on the SmackDown roster, do it.
I'm sure someone on the SmackDown roster was in Glow at least once. Somehow. Even a one off. Mickey James, maybe.
Probably. But all right, people. Let's tell the people goodnight. Tell the people where they can find you. Misery Williams. Tell all those beautiful young ladies where they can slide in your DMs at.
Page forums.
Well, if you want these DMs to go down, you can find me on all social media platforms at Misery Williams, MISERYWILLIAMS. If you can't spell it, you're the woman for me. JB, where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at WWPNJB. That is spelled WWPNJB.
And you can follow me at CEO Hayes. That is spelled CEO HAIZE. And more importantly, go to our website. That is thewwpn.com, where you can like, share, subscribe, follow all your favorite WWPN hosts. We also have exclusive articles there that you can check out. Be on the lookout for some content to come to our YouTube channel. We have a certain show debuting soon. JB, by chance, do you want to tell the people a little bit about your show debuting on the YouTube? It is a video show. Tell the people what they can expect.
Yeah, so firstly, our YouTube channel is going to have a lot of content. I'm not going to go into all that because the boss wants to keep that under wraps for now, which is good. But our
show, Paige, I keep stuff on the wrap.
I don't even know what to say in regards to that. Yeah. So I'll just
she doesn't.
I'll just continue to move forward. as Paige would do. So basically, what it is, it's we're gonna have a roundtable discussion. It's me and you might have. I don't know if you guys have heard the Brother to Brother podcast. It was myself as well as my brother and a friend of mine's, Brian. So we're gonna be on. We're gonna be recording in the next couple days, and it should be up on YouTube in the next few days. Just a roundtable discussions about what's going on around WWE right now. And yeah, it should be a lot of fun. It's going to be a normal thing, once a month thing on our YouTube channel, amongst other things that we will be tweeting about. The Boston Show will be letting people know in the upcoming week. So a lot of exciting stuff happening on our YouTube channel. You know, the CEO tasked me with some things to do for the YouTube channel. So we'll see how it goes.
There you go. There you go. And so, like I like to end every podcast on, I want to thank all our listeners and everyone who supported us, and just want to tell you, leave you on these departing words. We love you, and unlike Paige, we do wrap it up. Good night.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sweet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.